माया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी माया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी यशोरानंदना भज जन रंजना यशोरानंदना भज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावनाचारी शिराबनाचारी जाया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी जाया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी जनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी यशोरनंदना भज जन रंजना यशोरनंदना भज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावनाचारी जमुना तीरावनाचारी जाया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी जाया राधा माधवा कुंजाबिहारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी गोपीजनवल्लभ गिरिबारादारी यशोरनंदना भज जन रंजना यशोरनंदना भज जन रंजना जमुना तीरावनाचारी जमुना तीरावनाचारी जया राजमाजावा सुंदरिहारी जया राजमाजावा सुंदरिहारी जया राजमाजावा सुंदरिहारी जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजाचार्य श्री श्रीमद इज एसी वाक्यांश समेश्वर प्रभुपाद की जय श्रीमद भागवतम ग्रंथराज की जय श्री महाप्रभु की जय Now, how am I? Is there a book for me? I also need a book. Everybody can see what I can't see. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, chapter 5. Verse 32. Please repeat after me. Krishna Varnam Pisha Krishnam Krishna Varnam Pisha Krishnam Sango Panga Astra Parshadam Sango Pangastra Parshadam. Yagnahai Sankirtana Prayer. Yagnahai Sankirtana Prayer. Yajanti Hi Sumedasaha. Yajantihi Sumedasaha. Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagnahe Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagnaher Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishna Sango Pangastra Parshadam Yagnir Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedasaha Others
Krishna, 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 Krish
I'm not used to this. I'll just use it down. Ladies. Please repeat after me. Krishna Varnam. Repeating the syllables Krishna. Tvisha. With a luster. Akrishna. Not black. Golden. Saanga. Along with associates. Upaanga. Servitors, Astra, weapons, Parshadam, confidential companions, Yagnaha, by sacrifice, Sankirtana Prayer, consisting chiefly of congregational chanting, Yajanti. They worship. He certainly. Sumedasaha. Intelligent persons. Translation. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Please repeat after me. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead, who constantly sings the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born into the darkest of ignorance, but my spiritual master over my life, with the torchlight of knowledge, I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Okay.
Hare Krishna. Please, those who want Kannada translation, devotees can go back. Vedadhari Prabhu, can you please? Yeah. Vedadhari Prabhu will be doing translation.
So last Wednesday was the glorious appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the Gaur Purnima day. So at that day, His Grace Varada Krishna Prabhu, he gave a nice talk explaining about the very esoteric reasons why Lord Gauranga appeared. Esoteric means the secret, hidden meanings. Today we're going to speak about the exoteric meanings, the external, you can say, the more pedestrian meaning. We wouldn't exactly, pedestrian may not be a good word. Esoteric and exoteric, the internal and external reasons. Now the esoteric, the internal reasons, is basically about Krishna's own desire, Krishna's own things, which is only applicable to Krishna. We don't really, we can, in an academic way, understand it at the most. We can have an academic understanding of why Krishna's esoteric meanings. However, the exoteric, the external reasons, is very much applicable to us, because we get the benefit. You know, the exoteric meaning is all about Krishna and us, the rest of the jivas. So it's, while the esoteric meaning is somewhat, academic in one respect, the exoteric meaning is more significant for us conditioned souls, because the exoteric meaning is all about how Krishna is thinking about us and to deliver us from the ocean of the Bhava Sagar, of the ocean of material existence. If you haven't already figured it out yet, this is not a nice place. The material world is not a nice place. No matter how much money you have, how much power you have, education, nobody's happy. One of the benefits, you could say, of being an astrologer is I get to see how even the most wealthy people are miserable, because they tell me all their problems. They can't get their daughter married, or their daughter's got a Christian boyfriend, or they got cancer, or they can't sleep at night because they have some problem, or this or that. Nobody's happy. I even did the horoscope of the ex-Prime Minister of India, and all he could do was complain about his life. He sounded like he was the rickshawwala, about how life was so bad, and he was the ex-Prime Minister of India. So if the ex-Prime Minister of India is not happy with his life, what about anybody else? So so this world is not a nice place. So because it's designed that way. It's not by mistake. It's not like God made a mistake. When he made the plan, he forgot to put in air conditioning or something like that. It's so hot. It's not that he didn't make any mistakes. Sometimes people, the Darwinians, the atheists, they say that if there was a God, he would have made a perfect place. There would be no disease, there'd be no death, there'd be no war, there'd be no famine, there'd be no mutation, there'd be no so many different things. Because they are assuming that, they are assuming what was the purpose of Krishna creating the material world. They assume that if Krishna would make this place, he would make it like some sort of a health spa. He would make it like a vacation paradise. Like that's what they would do. They think that the material world should be like a really nice place, so they can enjoy it, because that's what their idea is. But what's Krishna's idea? Why did Krishna make the material world? Not to be a health spa. Before they like Chandigarh is a planned city, one of the few planned cities in India. So when they were laying out the plans for Chandigarh, they're going to be a hospital over here, there's going to be school over here, and there's going to be a jail over here. Maybe more than one jail, maybe a few jails. So when you design a jail, how are you going to design it? Is it going to be a nice place? Huh? You know, three swimming pools, you know, beautiful gardens, everybody has 10 servants, huh? Gourmet meals every day, huh? Bharatanatyam dancers, apsaras serving you, or if you're a lady, you have Gandharva serving you. Is it going to be like that? No. No. The Tihar ashram is not like that, is it? People are always trying to get out. They're trying to leave. Because it's not a nice place. It's designed to be a miserable place. So that people don't want to go back. Right? Everybody wants to get out. So that's the material world. Material world is Durga. It's a fort. It's a jail. For people who are rebellious against God. Who want to be God. Who are insane. It's a big insane asylum. Because people, they think, nobody says it, but we think we are the enjoyer. That we are the ones, because we wanted to be God. We like the spiritual world. Everybody liked the spiritual world. The only problem is that, you know, we liked it. It was so nice. And, you know, what we didn't like, why this guy over here is getting so much attention. I should be getting some attention. Why Krishna should be getting attention? Why everybody likes? Why he's the center of attention? I should be the center of attention. But you know, Krishna, he knows everything, right? He knows everything. He knows your every desire you have. So as soon as he figures out somebody here has got a different idea, then he says, "Okay, you don't belong here." Like everybody, when you have a social circle, you like everybody to be in the same mood, right? In your family, everybody should be in the same mood. And you only, your social circle is of people who have share similar ideas. Where did we get this idea from? Because Krishna, that's what Krishna, he has his social circle. So his social circle, he likes people who love him, not people who are envious of him. As soon as he understands immediately, he can understand somebody's envious. Okay, you don't belong in my social circle anymore. It's like that child doesn't belong in his class. He's a disturbance. So we have to take the child out. So as soon as somebody is not congruent with the aims of Krishna's social circle, he says he does the exit. There's the exit door, and you end up. I made a place for you. It's called, you know, Devi Dham, and there you can. You want to be God? Okay, you go to that place. You can be God. You can. You think that you should be me? Fine. You go there, and you can be me. There's only one problem. Everybody else thinks that they're me also. Krishna has a good sense of humor. He's a good joker. So everybody in the material world, everybody thinks that they're Krishna, that they should be the enjoyer. That's why there's so much competition, there's so much fighting, you know. Like there's an Italian saying, you know, me and my cousin against the world. Me and my brother against my cousin. So everybody's fighting. And then brothers fight with each other. Because everybody wants to be the supreme. So after some time, a long time, you know, it seems like a long time to us, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not a very long time. Because this whole Brahmanda, this one Brahmanda we're in, lasts approximately 311 trillion and 40 billion human years. That's a long time. It seems like a long time. If on average we were to live a lifetime, a human lifetime of 100 years long, that would be like, you know, 3.1 trillion lifetimes in this universe. And we go through one universe after the next universe. But a universe is only the length of time it takes Narayan, Mahavishnu, to... That's it. Inhale, exhale. That's the universe finished. You know. So to us it seems like a long time, but it's not really a long time. For Lord Brahma, His 1 second is for us 100,000 years. His 1 second. Today, in Lord Brahmaloka, is the day after his 50th birthday. And it's about 11:40 in the afternoon for him. And in about 20 minutes, he'll be doing his Sandhya Vandanam, noon Gayatri. That for us, that will be 200 million years from now. So you see, it's like time is like that. So this material world is it's like a very bad dream, very, very bad dream. So, but there's a purpose. It's like a jail is meant to rehabilitate. It's not that government is just like vengeful. They don't want everybody just to punish people just for the sake of punishing. They're not like some sort of, it's not sadists who have this, get a thrill out of inflicting pain. There are people like that. But that's, a true government doesn't just punish for the sake of punishing. It does it for the benefit of the criminal. So similarly, Krishna is not a sadist. He's just like a parent punishes the child for the benefit of the child. We may not understand that. It's like this Prabhu was saying how he had typhoid fever some time ago. So Srila Prabhupada, one time, he was observing his neighbor and how he saw the young mother take one of her sons and beating him, just like beating him like anything. So he's wondering, like, he never saw this little lady beat the child. What's going on? Why is she beating this child? So he sent his servant to make an inquiry. And what happened was that the older brother had typhoid. And in typhoid, at a certain stage, you cannot eat any solid food. Because though you may look okay, all your intestines have got ulcers. And if you eat any solid food, it will rupture your intestines and you will die of septicemia, painful death. So, but just eating like liquids, after a while you get tired of that. So the boy was said to his younger brother, she's starving me, give me some food. So the younger boy, he thought he was doing his brother a favor. So he got him some chapatis and parathas and some who knows what, Italy's dough. So then he fed, when the mother found out, she knew what the real situation was. Feeding this boy will kill him. He thinks he's being starved to death, and the other one thinks he's doing a favor, and he's wondering, I'm doing my brother a favor, and my mother's beating me half to death. So that's what it's like in material world. We think, by giving some charity to this, we think we're doing people benefit, but we don't know why they're in that situation. So Krishna, it may seem like that mother, it may seem like she's starving one son and beating the other son, but she knows what's going on. She knows the real purpose. So Krishna knows the real purpose, why somebody is suffering, why somebody else is in such a situation. So Krishna is also, he created this material world in such a way that people get, like for example, there's the Ganga. Just, that things which will benefit us. For example, Tulsi Devi, described, just if you just simply see Tulsi Devi, or if you circumambulate Tulsi Devi, you take a Tulsi Devi, unlimited sins are removed. There's so many ways Krishna has done things so that people eventually get turned around. He goes to great lengths to drag back the conditioned soul. In the sixth canto, when Chitraketu when he saw Shankarshan, he explains that for you, for the Lord, a great victory is not by, not when, Rama killed Ravana. That's going to be coming up soon. The appearance of Rama, the Ram Nami is in about 3 weeks. So Ram killed Ravana. He killed so many Rakshashas. Narsingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, so many, all avatars, Krishna killed so many people. But is that a victory for Krishna? No. Chitraketu says, you feel great victory when you are able to bring back
soul back to you. That's for him his victory, not killing. He doesn't need, you know, malaria kill people, you know, the plague will kill people, you know, the terrorists will kill people. Why does he need to? He doesn't have to kill people. That's not a big deal. Everybody goes around dying anyway. So killing people is not a great victory for Krishna. But bringing, if he can just bring one person back, he feels glorious. He feels he's done something great. Because that's his mood. He actually wants people to come back to him. In the one of the last scenes in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Krishna sees Gopakumar and he embraces him, you know, Krishna's out of his own humility. Krishna, you know, he's Supreme Personality of Godhead, but his humility is so painfully humble. He is so painfully humble when you hear his humility. You know, he was saying, every day I was looking in that path and I was wondering, when are you going to come back? When are you going to give me your mercy and come back? What did I do? What did I do to offend you? Krishna is saying like that. So how humble Krishna is. He's feeling that he offended that devotee, that's why the person left. That he got that attitude. So when will you give me your mercy? So in different, according to the time, place and circumstance, it's like, you know, in different seasons in Ayurveda, according to the Ritu, there's a certain diet. Right? And so when it was winter, you wanted to have heavy food with ghee and, you know. But when it comes summertime, you only want to eat, you know, tarbuj. You only want to eat watermelon. You don't want to eat very light diet. So according to different yugas, the different atmosphere is there. So different yuga dharma is there for the purpose of bringing the soul back home, back to Godhead, back to Krishna. So in Satya Yuga, there was, you know, dhyana. You know, because Satya Yuga people live for 100,000 years. So they can do very great meditation. It's like, you know, Valmiki. He was meditating for 60,000 years, so much so that a whole anthill grew over him. In Treta Yuga, then they have these long yajnas. Long yajna. Even in the at the end of Dwarpa Yuga, it was described in the Srimad Bhagavatam how the sages were doing a 1,000-year-long yajna. Right? 1,000-year-long yajna. Here, if it's a yajna goes on for a couple hours, you'll get tired, you know. The smoke gets in your eyes, and even they were, you know, you can't breathe, and it's where all the ghee is going to come from. They weren't using vanaspati or dalda. And in Dwarpa Yuga, they're using the method for, but you know, in Treta Yuga, they could do yajnas. Like, it's like when, what's his name? Nimi Maharaj, when he was doing his sacrifice out of the fire, the devas would appear, Vishnu would appear. They could see they could see the gods, they could see the devas, they could see Vishnu appearing. Not like now, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what is going to happen. Because the perfection, you know, the knowing all the mantras, you know, all the ingredients, and having practiced for so long. You know, now people only live 100 years. Then, you know, people, if you live for 10,000 years, you got to practice something. You got to be very good at what you did because you had so much practice. And in Dwarpa Yuga, the method was via archana, very elaborate deity worship. You know, how many people at their home, how many temples can have, like, you know, like golden shringar, like in Tirupati? It's very rare. And even then, the government, who knows what the government does with all that stuff. The deity only gets a small fraction of the donations that people give. The rest is taken by the government. And we don't know what they spend with it. I think they do a hajj. They pay for hajj. with Balaji's donation, they pay for hajj. That's not the way it's supposed to go. But so in this yuga, Krishna comes, and the Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan Yajna. Sankirtan prayer, that through the Yajna prayers, that there's Yajna, is through Harinam Sankirtan. That is the sacrifice. Yajna means any type of sacrifice, not just homas, but it's like, you know, like just when you sacrifice your money, you know, this type, it's for some higher purpose. In fact, when it comes to, so when we're specifically speaking of Yajna, Krishna explains in the Gita that, you know, he says so many things of the aquatics, I am the shark, you know, of the mountains, I am the Himalayas, of the Kshatriyas, I'm Ram, of the, you know, he's the superlative of everything. So he says, of the Homa, in the Homa, what part is Krishna? Japa. Of the Homa, I am the Japa. Right? That means that the Japa is the most important part. What is in the Japa? The Japa means all the mantras which are there. And Manu, he explains that when it comes to doing yajna, just the perfect yajna is just done with mantras, not even any fire. So the importance of the mantra is there. So then this chanting of the holy name in the Kali Yuga, because in various shastras it gives the defects of Kali Yuga, but also lists what are the benefits of Kali Yuga. That though Kali Yuga has so many faults, it is an ocean of faults, that the one great benefit of it is that simply by chanting the holy name of Krishna, one gets liberation. And in the Vayu Purana, it gives a comparison of the benefits. That if you were to do 12 years of dhyana in the Satya Yuga, that would be equivalent to 6 years of yajna in Treta Yuga, perfectly performed yajna, which would be equivalent to 3 years perfectly performed archana in the Dwarpa Yuga, which would be equivalent to 1 day in Kali Yuga of Harinam Sankirtan. So that is the benefit of Kali Yuga. But the thing is, it has to be done, but this chanting has to be done purely, not simply, you know, of course there is benefit that anybody, you know, if they chant the holy name, there's benefit, but that's for somebody who doesn't know, some ignorant person. You know, you meet somebody's teasing you. But if a person, if you take up the process actually of bhakti yoga and chanting the holy name, there becomes rules and regulations. There's for example, the 10 offenses against the holy name. This has to be observed very carefully. That chanting, to get that benefit, one has to chant the holy name purely. So of course we may not be at first chanting the holy name purely, but the way to overcome the impurity is to continue chanting the holy name. When we're in the Namabhas stage, we simply continue chanting the holy name, and eventually it purifies us till we get to Shuddha Nam. But there are, you know, so we should be concerned about the offenses against the holy name, and also different processes which help us to maintain purity. For example, Srila Prabhupada explained that deity worship is also should be done side by side with chanting, because that helps us to keep physically and spiritually pure. And cleanliness. It's like a railway track. A railway track has got two rails. One is Harinam and one is Archana. Like that. Because of the four sampradayas, two are Bhagavad sampradayas and two are Pancharatrik sampradayas. For example, the Madhva sampradaya, we're part of the Madhva sampradaya. So are Bhagavad sampradaya, which is mostly focused on Harinam. Say 60% Harinam, 40% Pancharatra. Whereas say the Sri sampradaya, that's a Pancharatrik sampradaya, or you could say it's 60-70% Archana and other part is Harinam, Bhagavad sampradaya. Both are required. Another thing that's required, Bhakti Siddhanta stressed it, is the need for Daivi Varna Ashram. Daivi Varna Ashram. I'm not going to go into a lot of details about that. It's a whole lecture in itself. But as Srila Prabhupada explained, the whole reason behind Varna Ashram is keeping the sexes apart. To keep mixing of sexes apart, because otherwise what is it that keeps us in the material world? The desire for the opposite sex. That's what keeps us in here. If you go to the prison that the government creates, there's bars, there's chains for the material world. The bars and chain is the attraction for the opposite sex. We don't want to leave. Krishna is very intelligent. The way he makes prisons, he makes a prison so bad, but at the same time we don't want to leave it. It's full of suffering, death, old age, disease, poverty, war, you name it, but we don't want to leave because of attachment to the opposite sex. So that's the main idea behind Varna Ashram, is to regulate the association of the sexes. Because after Lord Chaitanya appeared, within a couple of generations, though the name was being chanted in Bengal, the whole rising of apasampradayas, of sahajas, came up, who took things very cheaply. And then, they thought, oh, Krishna's having Rasa Leela, I also can have Rasa Leela. All in the name of the holy name. Because the seventh offense against the holy name is performing sinful activities on the strength of the holy name. You know that I can perform any sinful activity and then I can just chant Hare Krishna, it's all erased. So this is itself an offense. The worst offense. So that happened in Bengal, to the point that if you call somebody a Vaishnav, that's how you insulted them. You want to insult somebody? You say they're a Vaishnav. You call them a Vaishnav. Because they become very degraded. So in order to... Because they weren't following Varnashram perfectly. They were not following very strictly. They would do many noxious things, based upon this type of mentality. So that's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta and other acharyas also specifically wanted to safeguard the purity of the chanting of the holy name through this Daivi Varna Ashram. But I'm not going to talk too much about that. That's a whole other issue. Another thing we have to understand is that actually chanting the holy name is a privilege. We sometimes tend to take it kind of cheaply, but actually it's a great privilege to be able to chant the holy name. We don't really understand how valuable the holy name is. We sort of take it for granted. It's sort of like who is that Ambani, Mr. Ambani, going and giving a blank check to somebody laying on the street. He doesn't realize, but he can't read, doesn't know what he's got. He could write in any amount he wants with his name from Mr. Ambani. That's what getting the holy name is like. It's like getting a blank check from a millionaire. It's such a fantastic thing, but we don't, you know, that's why Lord Chaitanya, he himself laments that you have hundreds and millions of names, but I am averse to them. I don't want to chant them. It's like when you're sick, if you have jaundice, then everything tastes bitter. Even sugar tastes bitter. But sugar is the medicine. So we have to keep chanting. We have to take sugar even though it tastes bitter to us. So being given the holy name is actually a very rare privilege that if we don't take it for what it is, you know, if we don't treasure it, you know, that I have been given this holy name, I should guard it, I should chant it with great respect, with great, you know, if you were given anything which is really valuable, how would you treat it? How would you treat it? You would treat it with great reverence, with great affection. You know, how does, you know, people take their bead bag and they just throw it? They don't pay attention to how they do things. They don't, you know, when one of the offenses against the holy name is to chant inattentively. If you're suppose you hadn't seen your spouse for, you know, a month, would you have the television on and look at the television while they're in the room, or would you, like, you know, immediately turn everything off and you have only your eyes on that person, on your the Krishna? The holy name is none different from Krishna. When we're, you know, looking at the news, we're reading the newspaper, and, you know, we're, you know, what's that cricket score again? Is Australia winning or is India winning? Like that, you know. But that while Krishna is there, now you wouldn't do that. No, you wouldn't. You know, while your girlfriend is there, you wouldn't be, you know, SMSing somebody else, would you? You'd be, because she'd slap you or something if you didn't pay attention to her, right? So, but Krishna comes and we're busy doing so many things. We don't realize what an actual privilege we have been given with the holy name. When we're initiated into the holy name, we're being chanting the holy name. Why? Because Krishna, the name Krishna and Krishna is the same. That's the meaning of the absolute truth. The Murti, Krishna's past, and everything about Krishna is identical to Krishna. So when you're chanting Krishna's name, Krishna is there. That's why it's such a privilege that you're able to have Krishna. We can't see Krishna. You know, not like Yudhishthira and the Pandavas, they could embrace Krishna. Imagine, you know, Arjuna. You know, Arjuna is, while he's riding in the chariot with Krishna and he's shooting bows, he's kicking Krishna. Go to the left, or go to the right. That's how he's, because his arms are busy. He can't say, you know, and there's all kinds of noise. So he's, with his feet, he's kicking Krishna. Right? Or after Abhimanyu was killed, Arjuna was in distress, Krishna made his bed for him. Imagine Krishna made his bed. Right? How close he was. When Sanjaya came to Upaplavya before the battle, before the war started, he went into the room where Krishna was with Satyabhama and Arjuna was with Draupadi. And they were drinking wine. And Arjuna was laying down with his legs on Satyabhama. Now, somebody else had their legs on your wife. But Krishna was right there. He didn't, you know, that's how close Krishna and Arjuna were. That Arjuna had it because they were cousin brothers. And Arjuna was laying there with his legs on Satyabhama. And I didn't know what Krishna was doing. But so Sanjaya was like completely, he was like, you know, his hair was standing on end when he saw that. That's how close. You know, so when we are with Krishna, when we have the holy name, then Krishna is there in all his attributes, in every way. So what are the three, what are the, you could say the three, you know, the three philosophical points about Krishna, you know, and the nature of the spirit soul itself is, you know, Sat, Chit, Ananda, right? So when you begin to chant the holy name, the more you chant, then you become associated with Sat. You understand that you're eternal, right? You understand that you're eternal. So when problems arise, are problems eternal or are problems temporary? Temporary. Like, you're not worrying about your high school exams anymore, right? Right? Because it's finished, right? In the past. Past tense. Because you're still here. Right? He's still here, but the exam is gone. Right? For everybody. Nobody is. So, because the soul, because when you realize you're eternal, then you understand this, I'm eternal, but the problem is temporary. It won't be around. I will still be here, but the problem won't be. Or it also works, I'm still here, but that happiness won't be here. You know, it's also temporary. Not only problems are temporary, happiness, material happiness, all those things are temporary, but I'm eternal. So therefore you become more peaceful. You know, why I should get all upset? You know, because these are all temporary things. If you have some problem, one thing you can do is just to say, project yourself 10 years into the future. Will I still be worrying about that? No, you won't be worrying about that. It's because it's gone. So when you understand, the more you chant, you will feel that you are eternal. It won't be theoretical anymore. The one thing is to be theoretical. Other thing is to actually experience it, to feel it. Yes, I am eternal. You know, why should I be worried about this? You know, the more you chant, you feel that way. Like one time, and I just heard it recently, you know, sometime like in April or May 1977, so Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And one of his disciples, a lady, she was a mother, she had a daughter around 16 or 17 years old, brought her to Vrindavan because she had some terminal illness. She was dying. So she came to Srila Prabhupada with her daughter and said, Srila Prabhupada, you know, I'm your disciple. She's also your disciple. She's very sick. She's going to die. But she's in so much anxiety. She's worrying. You know, can you say something to her? You know, and so so everybody expected that Srila Prabhupada would give some like long, you know, some deep philosophical, you know, instruction. Instead, what Prabhupada said, what are you worried about? He says, I'm going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He pointed to everybody in the room and said, they're going to die. Says, so, what are you worried about? He could see that she's still worried. So he says, okay, one more time. I'm going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. He pointed to everybody. So, what are you worried about? He could see that she was still worried. So he did this about four times. Finally, she understood. I'm going to die. Everybody's going to die. And she stopped worrying. Because, you know, the body is going to die, but the soul is not going to die. So then from that point on, she just got into, you know, chanting Satana, and she died. The body died in Vrindavan. Because the body is temporary, the soul is not. What's to worry about? I'm going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Everybody's going to die. The body dies, not the soul. So that's the sat potency. Then comes chit. Chit means knowledge. Right? Knowledge. As one, because they made prayer in school illegal, right, in United States. But as President Reagan said, as long as there are exams in school, there will be prayer. Because people, they want to pass their exam, they want to get knowledge through God. So when you chant, when you're continuously chanting, that means you're with Krishna. Krishna's, you know, he's instructing Arjuna, the Bhagavad Gita, the greatest philosophy, in just a few minutes. Right? As when the Russians banned the Bhagavad Gita, you know, everybody, that was the only time in Indian history that everybody in the Indian parliament was united, except for the communists. They didn't. But everybody else united. The criminals, the non-criminals, you know, everybody, they united. And S.M. Krishna, he made this statement that the Bhagavad Gita is a definitive treatise of Indian culture. Definitive treatise of Indian philosophy. And Krishna, and that was just in one conversation. Krishna gave the essence of the Vedas. Or to speak of all the rest, you know, all other knowledge comes from Krishna. Sarvasya chaham hriday sanavishta mata smritir jnanam apavanam cha vidasya sarvam aham eva vedyo vedantakrit vedavid eva chaham. I am situated in the heart of all the living entities. From me comes knowledge, forgetfulness and remembrance. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of the Vedanta and the knower of the Vedas. So Krishna knows everything. So if you associate with Krishna, then Krishna reveals. You get knowledge. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam pratipurvakam tadami buddhi yogamtam yena mam upayanti te. That I give you the knowledge by which you can come to me. But not just spiritual knowledge, all knowledge, any knowledge. Even atheists. Who gives the atheists their ideas? Krishna. You want to forget, he says, forgetfulness. He also gives forgetfulness. You want to forget me? Here, drink this Kingfisher beer. You know, that'll help you forget. That'll really, drink a few more. The more you drink, the more you forget. You know, then you'll have, and you'll be like a stone laying on the sidewalk. Use this philosophy. This philosophy will totally confuse you. You will, you'll think I'm God. Now you think you'll think you're God, which is how you got there in the first place. So Krishna provides all knowledge. All information is there, coming from Krishna. In fact, I had one God brother and God sister in the United States. It was like in the 1980s. They were very wealthy. Even then, in that time, they were making $6 million. They were making $6 million a year. 25 years ago. I don't know how much that would be today. So they had a very big company. They had 200-300 employees. So, but they were only chanting 2 or 3 rounds a day. So I said, they said they have no time. They have so many works to do. So I said, Prabhu, this is ridiculous. You took a vow. So I kept pushing them. They got 4 rounds, they got 8 rounds, and finally 16 rounds. They said, he says, now that we've been chanting 16 rounds a day, we actually have more time than we did before because we just, everything is much more efficient. We get ideas how to do things in this, Krishna inspires them how to do things, what to do. So that's from Chit. Krishna inspires everybody. He is in your heart. He is the source of all knowledge. If you had such a person as your best friend, right, and you can ask him questions, he'd tell you. But we have to be able to hear. As it says in Bhagavad Gita, once the mind is conquered, what is achieved? The super soul is achieved. So we have to conquer our mind. So how do we conquer our mind? Bhakti. In the morning, we beat with shoes, and in the evening with stick, with the holy name. Right? Then we'll hear Krishna. Krishna will advise us what to do. It's like Krishna advised Arjuna. He advised Yudhisthira. He advised so many people what to do. Because he knows everything. And then, what's the other feature of Krishna? Ananda. 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 So the more we chant, the more we'll feel that bliss of chanting. I'm sure everybody at some point in some kirtan they have felt like their heart is breaking, isn't it? Sometimes you feel that way. Lord Chaitanya gives us a little taste of what it's like. A little taste so that we all want to continue on. It's like when Narada Muni Narada Muni, when he was in meditation and he saw Krishna in his heart, just as he saw Krishna, then Krishna disappeared. Then from that point on, he was trying to find that. So Krishna, occasionally when we're in the kirtan, when we're chanting, we feel that great happiness in our heart and then it goes. We try to catch it. We're always trying to catch that. That comes from, but if we continue chanting more and more, then we'll get that experience. Now, important thing to go with chanting, another in regards to keeping the chanting pure, is reading. We should read all of Srila Prabhupada's books, listen to his recordings, because by reading, we will be inspired to do what? To chant. And by chanting, we'll be able to understand the books. Because chit, remember? Krishna gave. When I first was, when I first got one of Prabhupada's books, and I was a math major, pure mathematics, I would read, had to read the paragraph over like 5 or 6 times. I still couldn't figure it out. So I let's go to the next paragraph. I couldn't figure that one out either. But then I said, chant this mantra. Okay, I started chanting that. Then I was able, the more I chanted, the more I could understand what was being said. It's a synergistic process. That by reading, we get encouraged to chant, and by chanting, we understand what we're reading. So those two are very important. Reading and chanting together. And that will help us to avoid offenses. It'll give us, tattva, understand the tattva, so that we can make a more advancement quickly. So always, as much as possible, read. In fact, you can read for now, there's one book called the Sri Namamrita, which is a combination, which is a compilation of all of Prabhupada's quotes about the holy name. So I've gone through a couple of editions of that book. You just read a couple of pages before you start chanting. That gives you an appreciation of what it is that you're doing. That this is the holy name, with the potency of the holy name. The potency that is found in the holy name. So, anybody have any questions?
The universe is once you mentioned, because the lifetime of Brahmaji came, so about the time we were discussing about the universe.
Yeah.
So is that the jiva transfers from one universe to another universe? Is that happens?
Well, Krishna explains, Lord Chaitanya says that in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Ramanda Konya Bhagavan Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasai Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. The jiva is going from one universe to the next universe, to the next universe. That means, generally, it means you live through, you're in the universe until Lord Brahma dies. And you go to another universe. It can be, according to the law of karma, that a Krishna may want to transfer you to some other universe. In fact, that does happen. There is one instance where that definitely is true. That suppose, you have achieved perfection in life. So before you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan, you are transferred to a universe where Krishna is appearing, and in Gokula Vrindavan, where you are then being trained up, trained so that you can, so you know which is the front of the cow, which is the back of the cow. You don't try to milk the bull, because what are you going to do? You show up and go Goloka Vrindavan, you don't know how to milk a cow. You're not gonna fit in. You have to. The whole purpose of Bhakti Yoga is to make ourselves suitable to be in Krishna's association, in his company. Is Mr. Ambani, is he going to invite you into his house? You don't know how, you spit on the wall. Who do you invite into your house? people who you like, people who you get along with, people who can fit into your family environment. You're not going to invite some, you know, somebody else. Only people who... So Krishna, the same thing. When we are suitable, when we have purified ourselves, that we are suitable to be in Krishna's society, then that's where we'll be. So it requires training. We have to approach Krishna on His terms, not on our terms. Or, you know, when we first begin devotional service, we do what we want and we offer that to Krishna. Right? People are, well, I like doing this, so I'll offer that to Krishna. But when you get more advanced, you think, well, what does Krishna like? You know, maybe I like Pani Puri, but does Krishna like Pani Puri? What does he like? You know, like, so Mother Yashoda, when like a fisherman, when the fisherman tries to catch a fish, what does he put on the hook? Does he put something that fish likes, or does he put something he likes? So the same thing, when we want to catch Krishna, we have to we have to do things he likes, not things we like. That's how he got in trouble. Or like Pradyumna, Krishna's first son. He would describe that if he liked something, but if he found out that Krishna didn't like it, well, he didn't like it anymore. And if he didn't like something, but then he found out that Krishna liked it, well, now he liked it. That means, that's what the meaning of Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness means the enterprise of conforming our mind to the Krishna's mind, so that we are in agreement with Krishna. That's what it means to be one with Krishna. That we are one in agreement with Him. He likes that? I like it. He doesn't like it? I don't like it. Of course, except in the case of Satyabhama, who always disagrees with Krishna because Krishna likes that. And she's doing it because Krishna likes it. I'm disagreeing with Krishna because Krishna likes it when I disagree. So then, again, she's doing it because Krishna likes it. So the whole point is, we have all we're doing, Krishna conscious means we purify ourselves so that Krishna would want to hang around with us. We won't create a disturbance in His house. We'll know, you know, how to... That's what the whole Pancharatrika Agama is. Whole Pancharatrika Agama is how to behave with Krishna as a person. For example, you know, Krishna's in your heart. He knows everything that you're doing. So, when you go into the deity room, you knock on the door. Krishna knows you're there, but you knock on the door. Why? Because if He came to your house, He'd knock on your door. He wouldn't just like walk in. Of course, He's already in. But everything is made from, you know, that's Krishna's energy. But he would knock on the door first. Then He would come in. So He expects you to do the same thing. You should knock on His door. That's, you know, then you're trained up how to be in Krishna's world. You know? Okay, did that answer your question, please? Any other question? I couldn't understand that quite.
Krishna has created this as jail.
Yeah.
He has put us in. Why he cannot change this? Let him change this.
Why don't he create the jail in the spiritual world? Well,
that would be like ISIS, you know, they put a gun to your head and say, are you going to be a Muslim? You know? If I put a gun to your head and say, do you love me? You have to deserve to go back. You have to actually desire to be with Krishna. We don't want to be. We want to be Krishna. Sure, He could do that, but then what is the free will? We wouldn't have free will then. Can you repeat exactly your question again? Why doesn't Krishna turn the jail into the spiritual world?
What if it was instead of creating a separate world, outside spiritual world? Why don't he create a jail inside spiritual world itself and trap us?
Well, we don't know where. The jail, everything is part of Krishna's creation. What's not in Krishna's creation? What's outside of? There's nothing outside of Krishna's creation. It's like a cloud in the sky. Is the sun obscured? No, our vision is obscured. There's nothing outside of Krishna's creation. Everything is there within Krishna's creation. It just appears to be outside. Like the example, there's two instances which describe this. When one time, when Krishna was young, he was playing with his friends, and so they were having some argument. For to get Krishna in trouble, they told Mother Yashoda that Krishna was eating mud. Like, every mother wants their child to eat mud, right? No. The dog has been passing urine there, like that. You know, they don't want their kids to eat mud. So Mother Yashoda was upset, you know, like, are you eating mud? No, you know. They're trying to get me in trouble. She said, okay, let me see in your mouth. So Krishna looked, Mother Yashoda looked in Krishna's mouth, and she was astonished. She saw the whole material creation, you know, all the different universes. She saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth, and she became like, she was starting to get a little dizzy. And then she started thinking, who is this child, you know, like that. So then she was, you know, then she started losing her, Krishna was seeing that she was starting to lose her consciousness as being the mother of Krishna. So I didn't think that Krishna is some god. So then immediately he covered her with yoga maya. She said, okay, anyway, Krishna, don't eat mud anymore. Whatever, you know. She would still react as a mother. He didn't want his mother to think that, you know, that she would have awe and reverence. And mothers do not have awe and reverence of their children. You can't do that and give him a good whack, you know. Mother gives a kid a whack in the bottom. Because they don't have awe and reverence for their children. Another case, Markandeya Rishi. This is described in the 10th canto, and in the 12th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and also in the Mahabharata. So one time, Markandeya Rishi was in the forest with Yudhisthira, and he explained to him one incident, because Markandeya Rishi is a Chiranjiva. That every time a hair on his body falls off, that's one Brahma. So, you know, that's a very long time. Extremely long time. They got a lot of hair. But he only looks 25 years old. He's very youthful looking. 25 years of age, but he's, you know, so many Brahmas have died since, you know. So he was explaining to Yudhisthira and everybody that one time, I was doing meditation, and Lord Vishnu came, and he asked me, "What blessings do I want?" He says, "I want to experience your Maya. I want to experience your Maya." Can you just go? And so then, Lord Vishnu smiled, and okay, went away. So then. He's doing his meditation. Then suddenly, the time of a pralaya came. The pralaya came, and then everything, you know, rained, and everything was flooded. All darkness was there. And it's just the lightning is flashing, no light, and there's this ocean. And he's like, you know, doing the dog paddle for 10 million years in the ocean, and there's big crocodiles, and there's alligators, and there's sharks, and swimming around, and he's like, and he's swimming there, and it's completely dark, you know, for millions of years. But for him, it's nothing because, you know, he's who he is. It's like 1 second for Lord Brahma is 100,000 years for us. During this conversation that we've had, several generations of amoebas in your intestines have, you know, had weddings and everything, you know. So. Then all of a sudden he sees something bright. So he swims over there, and there's a tree, a banyan tree, and on the one banyan leaf is there, and there's a little baby, glowing baby, who's sucking his own toe. So like Markandeya Rishi is like fascinated. He's like, who is this? You know, who is this? And the baby smiled at him, and the baby inhaled, Markandeya Rishi inside. And Markandeya Rishi was in another universe. You know, there's a whole universe there, and he's, you know, it's no, the pralaya is over, and everything is sunny, and he's like, he walks all over the place, walking, trying to find the end of this universe. And he couldn't find the end of the universe. And then the baby exhaled again, boom, and Markandeya Rishi is in the water. You know, and the baby just smiled at him. And then he disappeared. And then after several millions of years, then the water subsided. You know, and then he was back in his hut. And then Lord Vishnu came back and says, so how'd you like it? So every, you know, inside of Krishna, outside of Krishna, what's it, there's no difference. And then Markandeya Rishi point, you know, said to Yudhishthira, because Krishna was there. Krishna was there, and he said, that baby, that was your cousin Janardhan. That was your cousin Janardhan. That's why in Arjuna, in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, says, you know, Narada, Devala, they've all said this of you. Now you yourself are saying it, you know. So that, so Markandeya Rishi was also one of those rishis, along with Devala and Narada and Vyasa, who were saying about this about Krishna, that he is the Param Brahma. You know, that that Markandeya Rishi, that little baby, that was your cousin Janardhan. Any other question? Yes, Prabhu.
Chanting the holy name is a privilege.
Yes.
Yeah. And you said you should guard the holy name. You should guard it.
You treat him with respect, like you were the deity. It is the nama avatar. Are you going to disrespect the murti of Krishna? So it's the same as Krishna. We have to have that consciousness that Krishna is there. And it's a privilege to have Krishna. It's like it's a privilege to worship the deity. It's a great honor. Like that. Matajis, any Matajis have any questions? Any other questions? It's like if the Prime Minister of India wanted to be your friend, you know, he called you up, would you take that lightly? Or you would, you know, you'd cancel others. Would you cancel the other programs that you're having? The Prime Minister wants to see you. Would you cancel the cricket match you were going to go watch? Would you? I'm asking a question. I'm saying, if the Prime Minister, if Modi rang you now and said, I want to see you, would you say yes, or would you go to the, you already scheduled the cricket, the movie, you know? You go see it, right? Okay, it's a privilege, you take advantage of that. So chanting the holy name is a privilege. We should focus on that, not in every lifetime. Protecting. We respect it. It's like we guard the deity. We don't want any harm to come to the deity. Krishna is a person, like Mother Yashoda. Did she guard Krishna? They were all protecting the deity. Because it's Krishna himself. The devotee, Krishna cannot be harmed, but still all the devotees were trying to protect Krishna out of showing their affection. Alright. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam Grantharaj ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. We thank His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu and for this wonderful and enlightening class for all of us, giving important